As I said before, tonight's sermon is on stewardship of gifts and talents. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have poured out your Holy Spirit on us. Thank you that you have given us gifts for your glory and the service of others. Please open my lips to speak your word and open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us tonight and to act on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, many of you know that this is the third in a series on stewardship. Tonight, the title of the sermon is Reconnecting the Heart of Service, a sermon on stewardship of gifts and talents. And in both of the past two sermons, and I hope tonight as well, that we will go away from here knowing that stewardship brings with it a real gift, real responsibility, and real joy. And this is true no less for the stewardship of the gifts and talents that God gives us than for our stewardship of finances or our stewardship of time, as we looked at in the past 2 weeks. So tonight we're going to look at those gifts, those talents that God gives to each one of us. This is a strange way to begin a sermon series on, a sermon on stewardship of gifts. I don't know if anyone knows what this is. It's actually a single cardiac cell beating. Doctors and scientists have discovered that if you take a single cell from the heart of, hopefully, a laboratory animal, and you isolate it in a petri dish and feed it nutrients, it actually continues to beat all by itself. The beating cell, an amazing gift of God. And I'd like to use that single cardiac cell as a picture tonight for us of our own gifts and talents. God has given to each of us abilities and skills which help to define who we are. We can't help expressing them. It's like the single heart cell that keeps on beating even when it's been isolated from all of the others. Right now, at this very point in time, the whole world is celebrating those sporting gifts and talents that come with being able to be an elite athlete in the festival called the Olympic Games. Many of us are probably going to be quite lacking in sleep as we join in that celebration of sporting ability. Unfortunately, I'm not there, I'm here, or fortunately, as the case may be. Each of us cannot help but beat to the rhythm of the gifts and abilities that God has given to us. That is just what is natural. We can't help it. It just happens. However, these gifts and talents are expressions of the creativity of God. And particularly if we look again at that, If we look again at the Exodus passage, I think it's quite remarkable that there are gifts and skills that are listed in that Exodus passage that we often don't think of as being gifts from God. Let me just read some of those verses from Exodus for you again. I've only got two bookmarks, so this one's not marked. Who here before tonight had really heard of Bezalel and Oholiab? Are they names that spring to mind immediately when you think of the wonderful works of God among his people? Probably not. In Exodus chapter 31, it says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, and son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts.'" This man, Bezalel, was filled with God's Spirit in order that he could make things out of wood and gold and cloth and precious stones. He was a craftsman. And God had placed within him the ability and the skill to do something absolutely beautiful with physical materials at hand. I wonder what expressions of the creativity of God the Holy Spirit has placed in each one of you. It's going to be different for each of you, but you are going to have unique talents that you express in your life, like Bezalel and Aholiab. There's a problem with the beating cell, isn't there, however? A cardiac cell is not meant to beat on its own. It contracts, but its real purpose in life, if you can put it this way, is to actually pump blood around the body. And a single heart cell cannot do that on its own. It needs to be connected to a whole living, beating heart. Millions and billions of cells, all doing the same thing, all doing what they were intended for. The problem with the gifts and abilities that God has given to us is that they can often become idols in our life. They can become things that we put our trust in rather than the giver of the gift, rather than God himself. And that's where Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 2 come in. Paul talks here about spiritual gifts, but he begins in a very strange way. He says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, when you didn't believe in Jesus, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols." Paul begins his discussion on spiritual gifts with a warning about idolatry. The problem with our gifts and talents is that we can think that at heart they are ours, that they belong to us. We can look at the gift and forget the giver. The problem with our gifts and talents is that they can actually begin to separate us from God rather than drawing us close to God. And the essence of that thinking is that by my own giftedness, my own talent, my own hard work or my religiosity, I can come to God. By what I do, I can earn my way into God's favour. But idolatry separates us from God and from our true purpose in life. It also separates us from our true humanity. It's like taking a single cardiac cell out of a heart and putting it in a petri dish. Yes, the cell will continue to beat, but it cannot do what it is designed and purposed to do because it's not together with the others. And so we get an isolated, individual, lonely cell beating only for itself. We get drawn into self-focus, into self-service. Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." If we do not love God with all that God has given us, then those gifts and talents can so easily become an idolatry that separates us from God. This is what cardiac cells should really look like. Of course. Penny, can you just press play there? The heart working as a whole organ, pumping blood around the body. How can we reconnect? How can we be connected back to the heart of service and taken away from our selfishness, our self-centeredness, and our use of gifts that takes us away from God? Well, Jesus talks about this in John chapter 13, verse 6 to 9, which we heard read just before. Let me read those verses again. Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." "I don't need your cleansing, Jesus. You can't do that for me. I can't let you serve me." This is the essence of what Peter is saying. How does Jesus reply? Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And then I love Simon Peter. He's so impulsive. He flips one way and then the other. "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus then says to his disciples, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." Jesus uses all of his gifts and talents in the heartbeat of God, which is service. Jesus serves us. He washes us and cleanses us and forgives us for our idolatry and dethrones our idols and atones for our sins and draws us back into the beating heart of God, which is a heart of service. This is the way that an isolated cardiac cell gets reconnected with the heart of service. Jesus leads us out of selfish individualism and about thinking, what can I get out of my gifts and talents? And he leads us out of an isolated life back into joyful community, a community that has a heartbeat of service. Until you know and receive the gift of Jesus' service for you and the gift of his forgiveness, you'll never know either true humanity or true worship. And this is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, St. Paul writes that the basic spiritual gift is faith in Jesus as Lord. Let me read those verses to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3 to 7. "Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." This is the basis and foundation of all spiritual gifts, to recognize that on our own we cannot do it, and to put our trust in Jesus, our faith in him as the only one who can save us and reconnect us to God's heart of service. It says then from verse 4, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kind of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." It's designed to serve. The heart cell is designed to beat in company with other heart cells, doing the job for which God designed it. Human beings are designed to beat in symphony with other human beings as part of the body of Christ. So, how do we connect to the heart of service? What does a connected life look like? It's about living as a body. It's about not being one isolated cell in a petri dish, but joining together as part of the body of Christ and doing in this world what Jesus wants to get done. It's about using your gifts and talents for the glory of God and the good of others. And I'm going to look very briefly at 3 points under that. The whole of 1 Corinthians 12 is about the use of spiritual gifts. There's a whole lot of questionnaires and surveys and that kind of stuff that you can do about your spiritual gifts to find out what they are. I suggest that it's very simple. Actually, this is not my idea. It comes from Timothy Keller, a pastor in New York. And he says, if you want to know what your gifts are, and how you can use them for God's glory, look in, look out, and look up. First of all, look in and ask, what am I good at? What do I love to do? What makes me come alive? To what rhythm do I beat? If you want to put it in the language of that cardiac cell. Now, just a couple of positive and negative examples that might help to get a handle on this. You may not be eternally grateful, but you can certainly be temporally grateful that I am not at that microphone leading the singing tonight. Yeah, Mushy, you know, don't you? Mushy's laughing at me. It would not be a good thing. It would not build up the body of Christ. Also, I wouldn't really enjoy to do it. And I'm not good at it. Singing is not what makes my heart beat. On the other hand, preaching the Word of God and seeing the lights go on for people in terms of people getting the gospel, that makes my heart beat. What do I love to do? God is not going to give you spiritual gifts and talents and go, here is a wonderful gift. You're going to hate it, but here it is. No, this is what you are designed for. This is what you are built for. This is your purpose in life. Your spiritual gifts and talents are things that you love to do. It might be showing hospitality to others or playing music or doing surgery. I don't think there's anyone in the room in that. Mel is a nurse. Mel, are there times in your nursing where you go, this is great? You do like taking people's blood. See, here's another good thing. It's a really good thing that God has not called me to be a doctor, because I'm terrible with blood. I faint. That would not be a good look in the operating theatre. Here's Nathan, the master surgeon, makes the first cut. No. Just one more example. I remember hearing from an evangelist called Michael Frost. And Michael Frost said that he had had a man come up to him after one of his evangelistic talks. And the man was a Christian. And the man had tears in his eyes. And he said, I would love to do what you can do. I would love to be able to stand up in front of a room and tell people the good news of Jesus. But I can't. All I can do is make lots of money. And Michael Frost said, we need to talk. What am I good at? What do I love to do? What makes me come alive? Look in. But don't leave it there. Also look out and ask the questions, what are the needs of the world around me? How do my gifts and talents help to meet these needs? How do they build up the body and help others? How does the gift that God has given to you, your talent and your skill, serve the world around you? That's the basic premise of the look out question. Look outwards and see where God wants to connect your beating with a world in need. And on this point, I'd like to make a very specific challenge for you tonight. For those of you who know Jesus and have been connected to his heart of service and his forgiveness, almost everyone in this building tonight is in an incredibly privileged situation in regard to intellect, opportunity for education, and financial situation compared to the rest of the world. And I want to ask you to consider, perhaps, whether God might be calling you to give 1 or 2 years of your life to service in a place outside this comfort zone, in service to the world. Where is the Lordship of Jesus possibly taking you? I know that Jo has just come back from Nepal, where she was privilege to observe hundreds of eye operations where cataracts were removed. Amazing, life-giving work in one of the poorest countries in the world. where might God be calling you as you look out at the world around you? Finally, look up. Yes, it's not all bad news, but look up means, what is God calling me to do? What is my mission? What is the church's mission? And how can my gifts and talents help that to become a reality? God wants you to participate with him in the ongoing work of renewing the creation and of making the kingdom of God a reality in the lives of other people. Look in, look out, look up. Three very simple ways to find out how you can best steward your gifts and talents in service. And this connects with what I said in the sermon about time last week. There is a time for everything. In particular, time is a period of God's grace given to us to prepare for eternity. And the look in, look out, look up paradigm really fits in with our vocation. What is your calling from God? What are the places and the stations in life in which God has placed you? And also with our participation in new creation. Serve others. Christ died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised to life again. Connecting to the heart of service. Jesus has served us. He has used all of the resources at his command, his healing and teaching and preaching and ministering and bleeding and dying and rising as the Son of God, to connect us into the beating heart of God, to dethrone our idols, to take us from lonely self-centeredness into full heart-beating service of the world and of others. Remember that as you seek to use your spiritual gifts, the most basic one is that gift of faith, the gift that says, Jesus is Lord. I can't do it myself. Jesus is the one who connects me with God. But now that I am connected, I can use all that I have for the glory of God and the service of others. And that's when we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. That's when we love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. And as you steward your gifts and your talents for God's glory and the good of others, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Okay.